Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome on in. It's the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. Broadcasting live today from the DeBoer Heart and Lung Center broadcast booth at Citizens Bank Park. The finale today, the Cubs and the Phillies, as the Phillies will try to bounce back after a loss last night. Good morning, Hugh.
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, Philadelphia. You know what? I'm still optimistic. I just want to say that because I know I'm probably get ridiculed and killed today. But
well, you thought we would be the I told you so people today? I mean, you did tell us yesterday the season was to turn around and saved and all that, and then last night was a dud.
I hear the sarcasm.
Okay,
in your voice.
I'm just saying. I went into last night expecting an easy victory because the season was saved.
I didn't ever say it was going to be easy.
And then we get rocked last night by the Cubs.
Well, it happened late. You know, I guess if you look at a silver, they got to always kind of look at the positives.
Oh, sure, yeah.
I mean, they were fighting. They fought. They fought last night. It's just, you know, some of the problems that we have, they reared their ugly head.
Well, they did. All right, not a great night last night for Mick Abel. You know, I think he was terrible, but he left pitches over the plate. The Cubs bashed him because the Cubs have a really good offensive team. And then the bullpen, we know, is a huge issue. I'm tired of watching Carlos Hernandez pitch. I can't believe we haven't turned over that spot in the bullpen. We'll get to a lot of Phillies today. You can react to the game last night, an 8-4 loss. The Phillies have got a lot of hits, Hugh, the last couple days, but they're all singles. They only have 3 extra base hits in 2 games. Meanwhile, the Cubs are slugging home run after home run. So, finale today. We'll have leading off coming up in a little bit. Luzardo on the mound. It's a big start for him. But, Hugh, yesterday we had Eagles mandatory minicamp, a one-day mandatory minicamp, but it was the first time the whole team was together. And let's start with this: perfect attendance yesterday, which is great news. Everyone there, and it's the last.
That's the first start to a good start of a season.
Absolutely, everyone was there practicing yesterday, and this is their last time together before obviously training camp starts in a little over a month here. And here, it's interesting because when a team is as good as the Eagles, coming off a Super Bowl, there is that natural question and natural thought of, can they do it again, and can they have the same both mental, you know, ability and physical ability to do it again? Mm-hmm. And Hugh, every time we've discussed the offseason, I have voiced some of the concerns I have of their ability to be as good again. But all those concerns I have are about the roster, right? Did they lose too much? Milton,
yes.
And Josh and CJ, GJ and Darius Slay. The one aspect of this team I'm not concerned about at all is a mental hangover after winning the Super Bowl. I think the Eagles are built, and yesterday's perfect attendance kind of added a little bit even more for me. I think they're built to sustain success. I think the Eagles are built to defend a championship mentally. I think they have the right people here, from the coach to the front office to the players, to come back and almost act like they didn't win the Super Bowl. Just go out there and try to do it again. All these players drafted from all these big schools, used to winning, you know, whether it be Jalen Hurts at Alabama or all the Georgia kids, like, they're used to having a season, going for a championship, winning a lot, and then bouncing back the next year and starting to climb that mountain again. Hugh, I am not at all concerned about a Super Bowl hangover. Where do you come down? Is it inevitable that there is some sort of hangover after the Eagles won the Super Bowl?
I think so. Never won a Super Bowl. Let me throw that out there first for all those that you want to point that out on you people.
Want to
point
that
out. They want to remind me that. I mean, I've never won one, but I had a chance to talk to some people that did. Talked to Nate Newton this weekend, and we were talking about Philadelphia and Dallas and you know, the differences of the two teams,
yep,
and everything. And one of the things that I asked him, because he did win a Super Bowl, is there potential for a hangover? And he said, yes. He said, and when we started getting into specific players, and he told me to a man, he was like, not really too much worried about Saquon because his work, he was talking about his work ethic. But you're going to – everybody's not going to be on the same page. You're going to have some guys, and they might be the fringe players. It might be the peripheral players that somebody's not going to be locked in. It might be a special teams player that, you know, enjoyed the offseason a little bit too much, partied a little bit hard, didn't work out as much as he needed to work out last year. So there's the potential there to get off to a slow start. Now, when I say hangover, that doesn't mean that you have to stay hungover the whole season. You know, it's potential there to get off to a pretty slow start or a significantly slow start. And, you know, you have to fight to get to where you want to be. There's so many examples of things like this happening. The year that the Kansas City Chiefs won it the first year, they got off to a slow start the next year. Because the reasoning why that Nate told me is because the time to train is shorter because the season, your last season was longer. So the time off you have isn't the same. Now you get back to training, the rest isn't the same. All of these intangibles aren't the same. So there is potential there to get off to a slow start.
215-592-9494. We're live at Citizens Bank Park today. The Phillies and the Cubs have their finale, the three-game set, coming up later on this afternoon. We'll start with the Eagles off of mini camp, and yesterday, perfect attendance for the team. And then I heard this from Nick Sirianni. And, you know, Nick Sirianni has gone through different waves of the way we feel about him, the way I feel about him, the way, you know, he's perceived across the NFL. Here's what he is now, though. He's a Super Bowl champion coach, and he's a guy that's been here now long enough to understand how the off seasons work, how everything works with his team, a veteran group, but a lot of young guys coming up, especially on the defensive side. I think Sirianni's thought process now, after coaching in his second Super Bowl, on how to sustain success was interesting. Here's Sirianni yesterday on trying to sustain what they've built here.
Really, I focused on sustained success, right? What were the common denominators of different coaches that I talked to or players that I talked to or Michael Johnson, you know, other sports that, you know, that we talked to, that what were the common denominators of sustained success? And I think without getting into everything, I think there's two sides of it. You know, the main thing is it takes what it takes, right? You're going to have to be able to work extremely hard, and you're going to have to be able to overcome adversity. And you always have to be right in the moment of where you are. I think, you know, as I've done research and talked to these guys, and we've had an element of sustained success here as well. But you can have two ends of it, right? You rest on your laurels, you rest on your past accomplishments, and you're not here working, or you're looking too far ahead of how do we do this again. Like, we're focused on our process and how we get better every single day. And, you know, if your process is right, then it gives you the best chance to win. It doesn't necessarily mean you're going to win, but it gives you the best chance to win.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Are you ready to dive into the story, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, and they had I love what I heard there from Sirianni, like kind of what his focus was in the offseason. How do we sustain this now? And I just think they have the right people. Hugh, I understand your point about the schedule and the offseason, and it's shorter. It's shorter for every Super Bowl champion, right? Every team, both teams that make the Super Bowl, the winner and the loser.
And to that, with that being said, there are examples of teams that have repeated.
Sustained it. Yeah, I mean, you look back the last 20 or so years at what teams did the year after they won the Super Bowl, right? We usually talk about the other side, like the Super Bowl loser thing, and that's been a thing over the years. It is difficult to get back to the Super Bowl after you lose it the year before. But winning it, you know, what do you do then? You're the best team. Can you do it again? I mean, most teams that win the Super Bowl last 20 or so years, I mean, double-digit wins, 12, 13 wins, back to the playoffs. It's hard to repeat. We know that. I mean, there's very few Chiefs. There's very few Patriots. It's hard to repeat in the NFL. The Eagles are trying to do that now. I just think they're built for this. Especially like the mentality of some of their players. I watched Devontae Smith. I listened to him talk. I don't know he's accomplished anything in the NFL by the way he carries himself. Right? Devontae Smith is – he's a worker. I think Jalen Hurts has some of that too. Where it's about the grind. Even A.J. Brown. Remember we talked a lot about his Instagram post after the Super Bowl about he loves the grind. He loves the battle more than the results. Mm-hmm. I think they are built with a lot of guys – that just want to play football and dominate, and I don't know how much winning the Super Bowl satisfied them. It makes me feel good about this summer. I feel like they're going to attack this, and they're going to be ready. Now, are they good enough to win 14, 15 games again? I don't know, right? We're going to see that in the fall. But if they fall short or they're not a dominant team again, I think it's more because they just lost a lot of good players. The schedule's tougher. I don't feel like they're going to have a hangover. I'd be surprised week one if they – if we watched the game against the Cowboys and we're like, oh man, their heads weren't in the game, or they weren't all there, or they looked a step slow. That would surprise me. I'm not expecting any hangover from the Eagles.
No, I mean, I hear what you're saying, but I think that there's potential there. And I always look at it like, you know, like the year Jalen got his money. And I go back to that and I say, well, there's an opportunity there, or potential there, I should say, that he could get off to a slow start. And for the most part, he did. It's just the way that, you know, it could be the way that you practice. It could be the way that you install. There's a lot of intangibles that go into this. I think that the guys will be physically prepared. It's the mental aspect that might take a little bit of time to lock in. Because like I said, these guys' time is different now. They're doing things that they didn't do last year. Like, say, I don't want to mess up the name because if I do, y'all going to – exciting white – casual whites.
They're not the casual whites.
No, two mics and a white.
I think there's only two Mikes. Who's the white? They're both white. Exciting Mikes, Cooper and Reed.
See, and I was trying to make a point.
You're going to have to apologize when we see him at training camp.
I tried to make a point.
At this point, you're going to have to apologize.
But that was so bad.
The point is,
two Mikes and a white.
The point is that their time is still different. You know, you're like, it's just different.
Sure.
And the mentality is different. That's the biggest thing that I focus on when I think about this. Okay. Because going into last year, we know Saquon Barkley works his butt off. But last year, mostly Saquon Barkley's why was to prove to people that he was that dude, that he was him.
And he did it.
And he did that.
Right.
So now his focus is to sustain being him. It's almost like, have you ever seen the cartoon Afro Samurai?
I haven't.
Well, Afro Samurai was going around, and he was trying to find the number one headband, right?
Okay.
So he was fighting all these other guys. You know, he had to fight them in order to get to the right to be the number one guy, get the number one headband.
He needed to reach the mountaintop?
For the most part. Yeah. So when he reached the number one guy, he got complacent a little bit, and he lost the headband for a little while. Mm. So he had to get back on his grind.
So he lost the eye of the tiger.
Yeah, so he had to get back on his grind to get the number one headband back. It's kind of the same thing.
I understand it. I never.
Yeah, you never seen Afro Samurai?
I'm gonna search it right now.
Yeah, because it's really good. It has Samuel Jackson in it. So yeah, it's really good.
When did it come out?
Like about what, 10 years ago?
Oh, it's not that old.
Yeah,
I'll check it out. 215-592-9494. Is a Super Bowl hangover for the Eagles inevitable? Hugh thinks it is. I don't. It's like the one thing I don't worry about is their mentality and where their focus is. If this was a young team, and they are young on defense, but if they were a team kind of that came out of nowhere, right? That happens. A team wins a Super Bowl kind of out of nowhere. Let's say Cam Newton's Panthers team, which they were all right, and then they just went 15-1 and got to the Super Bowl. They lost their Super Bowl, but they got there. Then I'd say, are they really built to sustain success? And that particular group I mentioned was it. The Eagles are built for this. They're built. They've been very successful since Sirianni got here. Hurts obviously is a winner and has won every step of the way. I'm not worried about a hangover. 215-592-9494 to hop in. Kyle, what are you feeling here as the Eagles have perfect attendance day one of minicamp? You got our guy Nick Sirianni talking about studying sustained success. Or do you believe that a hangover is inevitable?
Well, I don't believe really in the Super Bowl hangover in general. I think it's kind of a myth. I believe in, like, regression statistically. Mm-hmm. I just think if you're at the top, it's probably more than likely that you're going to fall back toward the pack a little bit. And, like, I get the Eagles came off of this a couple seasons ago, 2022, going to the Super Bowl, losing, and then coming back. And I mean, I know the team started hot the next year, but ultimately they collapsed and they fell apart. I think that kind of thing is just likely when you have as many changes as you do. And, you know, the fact that they did win the Super Bowl means that some of their players get more highly valued and it becomes harder for you to retain them. But I don't know if that's like that's not a mental thing, right? I just think you end up losing pieces on defense. There's a lot of new young faces for Vic Fangio to have to integrate into the team. And they have a new offensive coordinator, and we've seen, you know, what the quarterback and what the offense, specifically the passing offense, looks like when Jalen Hurts has a new coordinator. So I don't think it's like a mentality thing. I don't worry as much about the mentality as you do. It's just, I think some of the symptoms are there, the signs are there for them to, you know, maybe start the season a little bit slow and maybe take a little bit of a step back. Look, they could still end up one of the best teams in the NFC, if not the best, but I don't think it'd be crazy with how tough the schedule is for them to, like, start the season 3-2 or 2-3. Like, I just think that's a likelihood in general just because, you know, the nature of everything that happened.
215-592-9494 is a Super Bowl hangover inevitable for the Eagles minicamp. One-day minicamp in the books. Let's go to the phone lines here. Chris in Middletown starts us off, fresh off his trip yesterday to the Chesapeake Inn to see the afternoon show. What's up, Chris?
Happy hump day!
Chris, what's up, buddy?
Hey, guys. Another beautiful day at the Chesapeake Inn. You know, I got dressed up especially for the occasion.
See Chris's shirt he was wearing yesterday?
I did see it.
Yeah. It was Fritz, you know, over the camera for the contest.
Yeah, I did see because, it was like the Dallas, like, yes. Where you see it on the – yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, good time had by all. Guys, let's jump right into this Eagles debate, and then, you know, Mr. Douglas, I'll finish with you today. the Eagles will absolutely not have a hangover this season. Listen, Jalen, we know his personality. He's not a guy that's going to rest on his laurels. We know he's going to go back to the lab. His personality is totally fueled by the naysayers like Spike and the aforementioned Fritz. Saquon, there's nothing about that man that says he ever relaxes in his life. I mean, you know he's going to just continue to do what he does in his career. He's going to put the work in. Our offensive line, Joe, our offensive line has been year over year one of the best offensive lines under Coach Stoutland, and I have no reason to believe that's not going to happen again. Our D, you know, is what maybe we worry about a little bit, is clearly led by a great defensive mind in Coach Fangio. And he's going to have these players, again, take the next step to his scheme, in particular the young Thundercats. Sirianni's message has still not gone stale with this team. I think one day it will, so I still expect them to play with a chip on their shoulders and be what he wants them to be. And remember, guys, this is the thing that I think we sometimes lose sight of. We think, hey, they're going to rest because they think they've reached – you know, the peak of the hill. Well, they have in terms of winning a championship, but not in terms of history. So if they win and go, what, guys, back to back?
And it's not easy to go back to back.
It's hard to go back to back, man.
It's not. But if they do it, it's NFL history. They will be the first Eagles team to go back to back Lombardis. So I think that that's a little extra fuel. With this character base that they have here and group of players. Now, men, on my way out, I do need to address something. Hugh?
Yes.
Get him,
I need
Chris.
You to not look at your phone right now, all right? So, Joe and Kyle, we told you so yesterday about the Phillies.
We tried.
And we, Mr. Douglas, we just gave our analysis, and the only thing you heard is what you wanted. And I don't know what more we could have told you, but guys, the only hangover we're experiencing in the city right now is from watching the Phillies. Because these games are brutal. And you know what, though? I saw something positive on this show, and I saw a person, a character emerge that I haven't seen in a while, and I think it's because of these here Phillies. And it was absolutely enjoying to hear him back on the air. When he had a call yesterday with Mr. OG Wade, Welcome back to WIP Joe E.
Oh man. Chris was all over the place there trying to spell Joel.
You know,
struggling there.
Talk about inevitabilities.
Quit looking at your phone.
Yeah, you know, we you're right, we haven't seen Joel in a while.
Okay? He emerged and
you caught it right away. You're like, "Whoa, Joel's back."
I was like, "No, because you was bouncing around." You know, like,
why?
Oh, heck.
I think Chris is right. It wasn't OG that got it, was the Phillies. That was my frustration of the Phillies at their slap hitting style, their crappy bullpen. By the way, they DFA'd Carlos Hernandez this morning. Thank goodness. Like, when I watched last night and I saw it was his 25th appearance, I wanted to vomit. 25 times we've had to watch that guy pitch this season. He stinks. He's out of here. DFA'd Mercado up. Anyway.
Was anything more inevitable than Chris like butchering one of those chants one of these days?
It was so inevitable.
Hey, it was coming.
And we did try to tell you about
that. That was a disaster.
You were on your high horse yesterday saying you had our Phillies reporter, Devin Caney, saying that you're one of the Phillies authorities around here, saying the team was back after a slipshoddy win on Monday, and they go out there last night and they get blasted.
But it took a while for it to happen. They fought.
What does that mean?
I'm just trying to find a silver lining in all of this. I'm still optimistic. I think today,
it's great.
Even though, you know, I went to some baseball higher ups and I asked them how they felt about today, and they were like, you know, they got to get out of this. I'm still optimistic. Mm-hmm. I'm still taking the Phillies to win today. Mm-hmm. And it just felt like, and you know what's funny? As soon as that came out of my mouth, because I believe that. But as soon as it came out of my mouth, it felt like I might as well just give them my $2. Just might as well.
Well, you've been doing that every day.
I'm still betting on the Phillies, though.
Well, you can.
I'm betting on them to take this series.
Okay.
We'll
put together a
I hear you, Kyle. I can hear you. Yeah. Well,
you heard Vic Fangio. That was fake news.
Fake news.
Mom, you told everyone yesterday you're the trusted authority on baseball. And then
I don't recall saying it like that.
Well, you alluded to it.
Well,
alluded to that being the truth.
I admit that I was peacocking a little bit.
Thank you.
I admit that.
Yeah.
But I don't recall saying that I was the trusted baseball authority. I don't remember saying that.
Well, you put yourself over some real baseball people. You dismissed Seltzer's baseball knowledge.
Well,
you put yourself above.
I was exuding positivity. Okay. That's a big difference. And I will still do that. I will still carry that banter, even though it is heavy than a mofo right now. It's real heavy to carry that banter. And I know I'm going to probably get a whole lot of beer cans or whatever thrown at me if I was out there walking with
that
bastard.
You better be careful.
Yes, but I'm going to do it because it has to be done. It has to be done. As bad as this looks, and it looks bad, I still will remain positive that this team will figure out a way to get out of this.
I hope you're right. I said it yesterday. I'll say it again. I hope you're right about where this thing is headed and that we will look back on a couple nights ago as a turning point. Last night, not so great. 215-592-9494. That is how you operate. We're live today at Citizens Bank Park. Phillies Cubs coming up in a little bit. All right, coming up, you're going to hear from Nick Sirianni and Saquon Barkley what they said yesterday about trying to do it again, replicating success, sustaining success. I don't think a hangover for this team is inevitable at all. I think the Eagles are built mentally to sustain success. It's what the organization is. I think they're built way better for it now than they were the last time they won the Super Bowl. That year from 2017 going into 18 with the Wentz, Foles thing, Doug writing a book. I mean, they were an older team. I mean, that really wasn't built to sustain. This
Doug
one
was on
is
his way out, though. Doug, I mean, no excuses, but Doug
listen,
was,
you got to strike while the iron's hot to write a book.
I mean, he was like, hey, man, you got to do what you got to do.
I get it. All right, 215-592-9494. Hugh thinks a Super Bowl hangover is inevitable. Where do you come down on the Eagles? We'll get to some Philly stuff as well. We got a call in here who's got beef with me. I'm saying
he got beef with
you? Well, I don't know why. All I'm saying today is they are built to sustain success. Hangover.
I might survive this day, then. If the first call that we get has beef with you.
Well, he might have thought it was Joe saying that they were going to have a hangover.
I might dodge a few bullets today.
That's because everyone knows you're a lost cause when the Phillies. You're peacocking around thinking they saved the season.
I just find it fascinating.
It's your fault.
I sat up here and I exuded all this positivity and they get their butts kicked yesterday.
It's your fault.
But you get the heat.
Your fault.
This is a great
place. This is useful. All right.
This is a great place to be.
215-592-9494. Midday show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Are you ready to dive into the story, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a beautiful day, Hugh. A lot of sunshine.
Beautiful day for baseball, man.
It is. Beautiful.
Beautiful day for a bounce back.
Well, yeah.
Beautiful day.
You going to try to tell me that's going to happen today?
I'm being optimistic.
All things are fine.
I never said it was fine.
The season turned around on Monday
night. I never said it was fine. But you do, at some point, you get tired of the status quo. You get tired of, turning on the radio and hearing folks talk about how bad you are. I mean, this is a good baseball team. I don't think anybody denies that. They have their flaws, but they're still a good team, and they just need to figure out how to fight their way through.
Well,
this.
They're struggling right now. And we'll get leading off coming up in a little bit. There's a lot of issues, right? The bullpen's an issue. DFA'd Hernandez.
It reared his
morning.
Ugly head last night.
Yeah, I mean, it's just that the underbelly of that bullpen is not good. We've known that for the entire season. And the offense right now, Hugh, is becoming its own issue. Although they've
anemic.
They've put some hits together the last two nights, but there's no pop. I mean, they had the home run to Kepler last night that hung up there and got out, but for the most part, there's no extra base hits here. And the Cubs, you see the difference. The Cubs are slugging the first two games of the series. The Phillies are out. We'll get to more Phillies, including the latest on Aaron Nola coming up. 215-592-9494. The Philadelphia Eagles. That's a team that has far less issues than the Eagles. They're the defending Super Bowl champions. Mini camp yesterday, perfect attendance. And one thing I don't worry about at all with this team is some sort of hangover. I think that's one thing. I check that box. They're going to be fine there mentally between Sirianni, Jalen Hurts, Saquon. I think they're in the right spot to sustain and try to do this again. Hugh is worried, though, about a Super Bowl hangover. Where do you come down? 215-592-9494. Let's hear from Sirianni yesterday at minicamp before practice talking about his team and his star players and the idea of trying to do this again.
As long as I'm the head coach here, I'd always want Saquon Barkley on this football team. Obviously he means a lot to this football team and as a player and as a teammate.
What have you noticed about, the way Saquon has kind of attacked the offseason, the condition he's in and everything after having such a huge load last year?
The same the way I visioned or saw him attack last offseason. That's what's great about this football team is, you see the same humbleness and the hunger that I saw going into the last season, and that's, Saquon, that's all the players on this football team. They're working, and we've had a good offseason.
So Sirianni there speaking specifically about Saquon Barkley, and from his perspective, Saquon attacking this offseason just like what he saw last year. Like, that is refreshing to hear that he sees that in the building, because one thing we've noticed, Saquon is a lot busier, right? He's a lot more visible this offseason, and I get it, right? He won the Super Bowl. He was the best. Maybe the best player in the NFL last year, certainly one of the, few best players in the NFL. This is his moment, Saquon. So we've seen him everywhere, doing everything. And that's cool, but I like to hear that, hey, that work ethic, it's still there.
And you know what, it's funny, because we have boots on the ground, so a lot of times, because we're so close to everything, we don't get to see everything. So it was refreshing to hear somebody who's not in town that had a different vision of Saquon. Like I said, I was talking to some guys this weekend, and they talked about they weren't worried about him because of his work ethic. So, yeah, that's the one guy you don't worry about, but takes 53, to get to where they got to, because you talk about the contributions of Jalix Hunt. We talk about the Cooper DeJean and those guys. So everybody has to get on the same page. It's no doubt in my mind that they will eventually get on the same page and get this thing on track for we can be in position to repeat. But there might be some room there for a little bit of error early on in the season.
Let's hear from Saquon yesterday. He took the podium talking about where he's at in the offseason he had.
Was that hard for you to kind of like let your body rest? Probably it seems like more so than you have in past years.
No. it wasn't hard because everyone that I trust told me basically, you know, sit down for a little bit. So in past years when I was younger, you know, you think like, oh, someone's getting better than me, or, you know, like I'm relaxing and, you know, I see Derrick Henry running hills, or I see Christian McCaffrey posting something. Like, the old me would be like, oh, I got to go. I still have that competitive nature, but two completely different seasons. So just listen to everyone. And when it's time to go, I've been going. And when it's time to back off, I've been backing off.
That's an interesting perspective. Like, he basically said, the way I read that was, he changed his workouts this offseason because people told him, hey, after all the work you had last year, you know, maybe you got to be smarter about how you work out, right?
Yeah.
Not necessarily not work. I mean, he's obviously going to be in good shape, but seemed like he changed a little bit to try to keep himself fresh after last year for a whole new season.
Yeah, and that's important. I think that's important. And the one thing that has changed from the time that I played, you have more resources to be more in tune with your body.
Right.
And it feels like, you know, him in particular, he's in tune with his body. You know, probably the healthiest season that he's had in a long time. And not only that, the most successful season that he's had in a long time. And I would not doubt, like we talked about it, how all of a sudden you're in Hall of Fame consideration. And that's probably a dream that he's had his whole life. So he's approaching this differently because he's looking 2 or 3 years ahead and knowing that if he can string together a couple more good seasons, that conversation is being had about Saquon.
Well, there's no question. Yeah, he does it a couple more times. I think he's going to go to the Hall of Fame. 215-592-9494. I also think it helps Sirianni. It helps Hurts. They already did the Super Bowl thing, and you could say had a hangover in 2023. They know how to – they've done this, right? Like, sometimes a team goes to the Super Bowl. They don't know how to handle that long playoffs, short off season. We just did this 2 years ago. Like, they just were in the Super Bowl and experienced life after Super Bowl. This time they get to experience as a champion. I'm just not concerned about it. Tyler in Delaware's got beef with Hugh Douglas. What's up, Tyler?
Yo, good morning, Joe. Good morning, my dog, Hugh.
Good morning, Tyler. Get him.
And good morning, Kyle. First of all, Hugh.
Yes.
With the amount of cachet that you have, all right, being an Eagles great and being a former player, why can't you talk to somebody in upper management with Buc-ee's and bring a Buc-ee's closer to this area?
The closest one just opened in Virginia.
Come on, Hugh. Get one closer
to
here.
It's one in Virginia.
No, I agree with him. This is your fault.
Why can't you bring one in either Maryland or Delaware or PA with your kind of cachet? You could be sponsored by them.
You know what the funny thing about Buc-ee's is? For whatever reason, most Buc-ee's that I've been to have always been on the outskirts of a major city. Like there's one in Canton, Georgia that's like, what, 30 or 40 miles outside of Atlanta.
So they're not really up against the city.
They're not up against the city. Yeah. For whatever reason, I don't know if that's because that, you know, the competition with the local gas stations or whatever, but I've never seen one that's right up. It's always on, like, long treks.
But there's enough rural spots in Pennsylvania and Delaware and Maryland. They could find a spot.
Well, you know, I think the closest one, it's in Virginia, and I don't know where it's at, and I think it just opened because, remember, when I was planning my trip, it didn't line up because it wasn't going to be open when I took my trip. So I think, if I'm not mistaken, the one in Virginia should be open by, is it the 30th of this month?
Yeah, but I think Tyler wants one even closer. And this is on Hugh Douglas.
I mean, I would love to have a Buc-ee's somewhere close.
Excuse me?
A Buc-ee's. Because technically, I got to show you the TikTok, Kyle. Or the guy that
I don't know if I don't want to see
he
that.
He calls it Buc-ee's with a lisp.
That's.
He said, I be drinking. I love my Buc-ee's.
What about. Dude, love stop. Buc-ee's. Stop. Stop. Please stop.
Buc-ee's.
What? Eagles. Right, what about
the
Eagles?
More than enough. Go ahead, Tyler. Cut Hugh's
right,
mic off.
So I'm never going to view Buc-ee's the same after you called it Buc-ee's.
I know.
Look,
I know. This guy is unbelievable.
Hugh. Yes. I got points for you and Joe on both the Phils and the Eagles. With the Phillies, Hugh, why should I, as a fan and as somebody who enjoys being a part of and listening to y'all show each and every day, what gives you the confidence that this Phillies team, after we just watched them for the past 10 games, go out there and not have any pop, not have any swagger. What gives you the confidence that we're going to see something different out of this team today or in the next series? When it just seems like this team needs a jolt.
What gives me confidence? Because I feel like, you know, like if Bryce Harper was in the lineup, I think that they actually care. Like, it's a love-hate relationship with the fan base. I get that. But at the end of the day, man, there's nothing like being here and feeling the love and the adulation from this crowd. And I'm going to use a point that Joe made yesterday, because he said something about they won the game in the 11th inning yesterday.
Yeah.
And that crowd, in that small window of them winning that game, this place was different. Now, early on in that game, and I think, was it Mike Angelini or somebody? Was somebody at the game yesterday? They were talking about the crowd, and they said it was bad up until that point. That's the beautiful part about being here in Philadelphia, man, is that even though this fan base can be very, very rough, if you put forth the effort, man, and you turn this thing around, they turn around quickly. But the flip side is if you play it bad, they turn around quickly on that side too.
Of course.
But that's that to me, that's the beautiful part about being here, man. And that's the part that you wanna keep going. You wanna kinda keep that going. So that's why I feel the way that I do. Because today, as nice as today is, if they come out here and win today and play well, why Joe's laughing at me. Things will change.
I'm laughing not because that was a wonderful set. It was a filibuster, though. I mean,
I knew you was laughing.
It was a wonderful sentiment. You got the whole town feeling like, yeah, but we forget is they can't hit for any power, and the bullpen stinks right now.
The bullpen, like last night, reared its ugly head.
Yeah,
I really think there's
a lot of issues right now, Tyler. The biggest one for me is there's no pop coming out of the lineup. It's just so hard to score consistently when it's just singles. It's hard. It's almost like a football team that has no explosive plays or NBA team that only makes twos and no threes. Tyler, it's just hard. Like, the Cubs are bashing the ball over the wall, and we're trying to single our way to wins here.
And that is where I could not agree more with you, Joe. This is what was so troubling in the offseason, is that even guys who are supposed to be boppers of the ball aren't hitting for power. They're not getting on base. I mean, if you just get a whole bunch of singles, but then you don't move runners, you're not putting runs on the board. And it's so frustrating to see that it's just the same carryover of just being stuck in a rut. You need to have some sort of shakeup where guys got to understand, like, yes, to your point, Hugh, we are a supportive fan base as a whole, but you get paid to perform. You know that from playing in the league for as long as you did, that your performance matters. So when the performance suffers and it's just running the same lineup out there day in and day out, I get there's no Bryce, but other cats, since there's no daycare anymore, other cats have to step up and fill that role. And that's where my frustration and why I try not to get too over the top, because until something changes, it's just like the status quo. You start getting into the same purgatory of not performing, where you can't just wait for Bryce to come back to expect results. You need to put guys in a position to be successful. And when you got a young guy like they just brought up in Kemp, you want some of that life and some of that youth to inject some of these older guys like a Bohm, like a Stott, like a Marsh, where your 6, 7, 8, 9 hole guys aren't hitting worth a lick right now.
And no, they're not. They're not getting, and they're not getting enough out of the top to go with it. I mean, Schwarber right now, Tyler, is in a slump. I mean, we all expect June Schwarber, but Schwarber, it's not been what we expect. And the whole, speaking of the home run thing, just for a second. So the Phillies have now fallen to the middle of the pack in home runs, like across baseball.
Mm-hmm.
But I think when you factor in they have Schwarber, it stands out even more. Like, they have one of the top home run hitters. Schwarber's got 20 all by himself. They only have 60-something as a team, which means you add everybody else up. there's just not pop. And obviously the guy that's second on the team is Bryce. He's not here right now. They just don't have enough pop. So, Hugh, it just feels like it's going to be hard for them to sustain winning. Like, they're going to win games here and there, right? They're not terrible. You said it. They're still a pretty good team. And they have really good starting pitching. But if they don't hit home runs and the bullpen's not good, feels like there's like a limited way they could win the game, right? Like, it feels like it's got to be low scoring and their starting pitcher has to dominate and they got to hope the bullpen is good that day. It's hard. Like, it's just hard for me to imagine the way they look right now, they turn this around and win 10 out of 12. Like, maybe they win 7 out of 12, 6 out of 12, and we're not panicking. But, like, when is the next win streak coming considering the way they look? That's, you know, what concerns
you know,
me.
You know what? And to your point, that's kind of how I looked at the game last night, because it was a little back and forth affair until we got to that sixth inning.
When the Cubs started hitting home
and
runs.
They started hitting home runs because they were trying to play small ball and they were trying to fight and stand to it. But unfortunately for us, our power outage really didn't help us out when the Cubs started to hit the ball out of the park.
Yeah, it's like the other teams in baseball, right? The good ones are playing a different game, and,
yeah,
and like the it was
they have the ability to switch to, yes, to do what they need to do to win.
Like the other night was fun, right? The way they won the 11th inning, but it felt that's not sustainable. You're not going to bunch your way to wins over teams like the Cubs. So,
yeah,
look, the Phillies have, and hopefully today Lizardo bounces back. They have the starting pitching to keep themselves hopefully afloat while they wait for reinforcements, or their guys get hot, or they get Bryce back. But it doesn't feel easy right now to get any wins over good teams. 215-592-9494. All right, let's go to Aaron, who's up on WIP. Hey, Aaron.
Aaron.
Good morning, Philadelphia.
Good morning.
Good morning, Aaron. What's going on?
So, guys, I think it's time that you guys gave the young Padawan, Kyle Quinn, his shot.
In terms of what?
I'm proposing a Kyle Quinn, Jalen Hurts minute where when Kyle loses his mind, it is pure radio gold. I think you guys got to give him a shot.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that happens daily on the
show.
Kyle takes
his shot every time he cracks that mic. I mean, what are you talking about?
So, Aaron, we have discussed some sort of Jalen Hurts buzzer. When Kyle hits the buzzer, we just get into an impromptu Jalen Hurts discussion for no reason and a debate about him. That's on the table for things we might start doing here. So when that happens, it's probably inevitable Kyle yells at somebody. So I like the idea.
I might have more fun calling into the show and going through his getting on radio. I mean,
oh, when he badgers the witnesses
to the point where he's, yeah, screaming and yelling it's fun.
Well, I mean, some of our callers, I'm not naming names, like, you know, you need some direction a little bit, so he's got to get you in line.
Yeah, you're a pain in the ass.
We get it.
All right, Hugh.
Yes.
You know, we are brothers from another mother. We are Wonder Twin Powers. But today, my friend, we disagree on both sides of the fence here.
I respect it. We can do that. We're at the stage now, Aaron, where we can have disagreements.
We're grown-ups.
Yeah, we can be grown-up about
and
this.
You could tell Hugh why he's dead wrong about everything.
Yeah, you can do that.
You know, the Phillies are that relationship that we've all had once in our life where, you know, that first date is amazing. You know, super smoking hot. You know, the connection is there. The fireworks are going off. And then the next couple dates, the red flags start coming out. And then after a while, you start questioning it. And then things get better for a short period of time. And then again, they go off the rails and all these red flags come up. And after 2 years, you're just like, man, I am absolutely, positively exhausted.
2 years is a long time to go through those red flags, Aaron.
Because he ran the red lights.
Yeah, you're putting in work, man. It's 2 years.
The Phillies are nothing but showing us red flags right now, where if nothing's going to change, it's the same old stuff. And then the one thing that is good in our Philadelphia sport fan life, the one thing that is true, the Philadelphia Eagles, you're talking about they're going to have a Super Bowl hangover.
Can you believe this guy over here? They are built to have a hangover, and Hugh's calling for a hangover.
Wait, man, I'm taking a jab because I said there's potential there for a hangover?
Yes.
Seriously?
Because what you're failing to see is how they are built to sustain this. They've got all these winners from Georgia and Alabama. They did it 2 years ago, and they know how to sustain it now. He's missing it,
We've
Aaron.
We've been to the Super Bowl two out of the last 3 years.
Yep.
Okay, our locker room consists of the mental outlook of Jalen Hurts, Saquon Barkley, Lane Johnson, Devontae Smith, Jalen Carter, Zach Bond, Reed Blankenship. These guys are driving this locker room, preparing this team for what's going to be a repeat, another Super Bowl run. Let's go, E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles!
There we go, Aaron. See, I mean, people are trying to get you right on this, and you don't see it.
You know, did you notice that? Kyle, that was a pretty good speech. Kyle didn't give him any
music. Well, they have beef, those two. they have beef. Aaron and Kyle have had beef for a while.
Oh, wow. That's crazy. No, but I believe that there's potential for that because there's a lot of – and there's a lot of things that happened probably in this offseason that I cannot share on the air for these young men that has potentially changed.
So I understand that. I do think it helps that they just did this 2 years ago. And not all of them, right? Cooper wasn't here. He was in college, Quinyon.
Yeah.
But the bulk of this team went to a Super Bowl 2 years ago, and I thought they had a hangover in 23. I did feel that, right? Even though they started 10-1, the first month of the season, they played like garbage. I mean, let's be real. But
yeah, it was a little rough.
Yeah, it was. They didn't play good football. I think the experience of that and understanding how to navigate it last time is going to help this team. And I just – It means something to me that they have players here. Like, these guys didn't go to, like, some school in the middle of nowhere. They went to programs. Like, the Georgia –
Yeah, they went to big-time programs.
And especially the Georgia and Alabama kids,
because
it took
Georgia a while to break through.
Yep.
And
but
so, yeah.
Those kids, like, one championship isn't enough. The expectation is you win, and then you come back the next year, and you do it all over
again.
Yeah, I like
there's
that.
There's a level of, you know, back on the grind because of the fact that, you know, you've done this. But everybody – Iowa wasn't a winning program. You know, what else? Wisconsin hasn't won anything. That's where Zach Bond went to school at. So there's a few programs in there that, you know, you're going to have to probably carry some guys along.
Sure.
Now, the majority of the guys, to your point, they're probably going to be focused. But, like I said, this was a collective effort. When you talk about the contributions of all the other guys, and, you know, like I mentioned, Jalix Hunt. So there's potential there for somebody not to be locked in like that.
There might be. I just think they have the right leaders in place, and they're going to be fine. I don't worry at all about a Super Bowl hangover. Where do you come down? 215-592-9494. Hugh's got some concern over a hangover after the Super Bowl. I don't feel that. I think the Eagles mentally are going to be just fine to try to repeat in 2025. Your calls to the Phillies as well. They lose last night. Carlos Hernandez DFA'd, so at least we're done with that nonsense in the bullpen. They play today. We'll get you set with leading off in a little bit. Elliot will join the show at 11:30. You'll hear from Jalen Hurts next, what he said yesterday as they prepare for the 2025 season. Are you concerned? Are you worried about a Super Bowl hangover for the Eagles? 215-592-9494, live from the DeBoer Heart and Lung Center broadcast booth on Sports Radio 94 WIP. FanDuel, in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, is the best place to find all your favorite player props for the NBA Finals. And now you can make the smarter play with new performance trends. Want to check a player's consistency during the playoffs, or maybe they've been flirting with a potential triple-double. Get the latest stats right inside the app and see who's heating up. And after the tip-off, you can combine live prop bets into a same-game parlay for a chance to win big. If you don't already have FanDuel, it's not too late to get in on the action. You'll get started with $200 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. Visit FanDuel.com/GIGLIO to join today. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. FanDuel Sports, because the official part of 94 WIP.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.